All right, let's go to the Word of God, to the book of James, please. James chapter 1. We'll be looking there today as I finish up a series on the joy of approaching God. The joy of approaching God. And it is a joyful thing that we can approach Him. Today I want to preach a message on approaching God prayerfully. Approaching God prayerfully. And that is all obviously part of it, that we approach God prayerfully. I believe probably the greatest failures that we have are prayer failures. The greatest failures that Christians have are prayer failures. James chapter 1, beginning with verse 5. If you'd look there with me, and we'll read these couple of verses. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That's prayer. Ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, like the waves of water up and down. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Those are powerful verses. If you just think about what was said there. He's saying we've got to pray and pray in faith. Don't waver if we expect to have our prayers answered. And our prayers can and will be answered. Let me ask you, do you pray? How much do you pray? When do you pray? Is it a discipline in your life? And can you say, my prayers are answered? You see, it needs to be more than learning about prayer. It needs to be putting prayer into practice experientially and knowing, hey, that prayer was answered. God answered my prayer. And then it becomes a reality to you as you see your prayers answered. And if they don't get answered, then you've got to check up and see, why aren't my prayers being answered? But we need to pray. And the greatest failures, I believe, are prayer failures. We need to let God know that we depend on Him. I believe God likes to know that we depend on Him. And I depend on God. How about you? We need to let Him know that. God, we depend on You. And we do that by praying and asserting the fact that we depend on the Lord and that we are helpless without God's help, without God's power in our lives. And when we pray, we express faith in God and we express trust in Him and we let Him know that we're depending on the Lord. Luke 17:5, the apostles, the Bible says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Hey, if the apostles needed an increasing in their faith, then I rather suspect you and I could use a little bit of increase in our faith. And we need to pray. We need to believe God and do that. Now, His Word tells us if we're going to pray effectively, isn't that the way you want to pray? Effectively and get your prayers answered, there's some doors that we have to see open to us and go through those doors if indeed we're going to have our prayers answered. First of all, there's the door of God's will. The door of God's will. We have to learn to pray in God's will. And if we're not praying in God's will, our prayers will not be answered. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will. Let that register. If we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. If we ask according to His will. Some of the best praying you'll ever do is saying, God, is this Your will for my life? Ask Him. God, is this what you want? Too many times we want what we want, and our minds are made up. But we need to say, God, what do you want? I'm coming to you in prayer. Tell me what you want. And as it's God's will, we have the confidence to pray and believe that He's going to answer it. Not according to our will, but His will. Now, there's some things you don't even have to pray about. Did you know that? You really don't have to pray about getting saved, whether it's God's will or not. You say, well, how do you know, preacher, it's God's will for me to get saved? Because God said it's His will for you to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world, gave His only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He proved His love, and He gave His Son. And He says, now is the accepted time, today is the day of salvation. So we know if you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, today is the day that God wants you to be saved. Amen, Christians? Amen. Today is the day that God wants you to be saved. Now, it's up to you. It's your will gets involved in that. And some people will, and some people will not. It's your will that gets in the way. But God's will is He doesn't want you to go to hell. God's will is He wants you to know right now that you're saved, ready to meet God. He wants you to know right now that if you died today, you'd go to heaven. Do you know that? Listen, nothing in the world is of more value than knowing that if you die today, you're going to heaven. Can you tell me when you're going to die? Not at all. Who knows when you're going to die? God does. You don't, I don't. But I can tell you, if you gamble with eternity, that's the worst kind of gambling you can do. Gambling on eternity. But I can tell you, you don't have to pray, well, I wonder if it's God's will for me to be saved. It is God's will for you to be saved according to the Scripture. You don't have to pray about going to church. You don't have to say, I think I'll pray about whether it's God's will for me to go to church or not. Well, you don't have to do that. In fact, I imagine God would get a little irritated if you did that. But why? Because if the Father's already spoken and said you need to go to church, what more do you need? So we don't have to pray, well, should I go to church or should I not go to church? We know it's God's will for us to be in church. The same thing is true about tithing or giving. We know it's God's will for us to give. You don't have to pray about, God, should I tithe or not? Or God, should I give or not? That's totally unscriptural. Because we know what the Bible says. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. In other verses similar to that. So we know that that's God's will. You don't have to pray about that. You don't have to seek God's face on that. Witnessing, is it God's will for us to witness? Should I pray, Lord, help me? Should I pray, Lord, do I witness or do I not witness? I'm a Christian. Is that my choice? Do I just not witness if I don't want to? What do you want, God? Well, God's already told us that. Matthew 28:18-20, and other verses like that. Go into all the world, teaching them, baptizing them, and teaching them to do the same thing. It's just a circle that never ends. We know that it's God's will for us to witness. But sometimes we may not know. Now, we may have to pray a little bit about the opportunity and pray about the timing of witnessing, but we do know that God wants us to witness. But a lot of times when we're left alone and we don't include God in things, we make the wrong choices. We need to pray for God's will in other things that we may not have spelled out in the Word of God, and praying that God would guide us in our lives, in every step of our life. Pray in God's will. God, what is your will? Show me your will, and then I will pray accordingly, according to your will for my life. And then there's the door of praying in Jesus' name. I think it's important that we understand we pray in Jesus' name. Why? That's the authority that we have. We don't go to God and make demands and commands on our own, say, hey, I commend you, God, you're my Father, to do so and so. No, we have needs, we determine God's will, and we pray in the will of God, but we pray in Jesus' name. Why? That's the only authority we have to pray to God. You don't pray in my name. You don't pray in the name of some religious leader somewhere. You pray in Jesus' name. And it's always good to understand that you're praying on His authority. John 14:13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name. We have to determine the will of God and then ask in His name. Whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son, which is the purpose of all of it anyway. We have to acknowledge that He is Jesus, He is deity, and we pray to God in the name of Jesus on that authority. When I was a teenager, a couple of years ago, a long time ago, I remember my dad going by the service station. That was back when they pumped the gas for you, cleaned off your windshield, checked your oil, and gas was at least 32 cents a gallon. Oh, the good old days. But there was I went to school with a boy named Tommy Smith. He's a banker there in Rayville now. But his daddy's name was Alvin Smith, and he had the service station. And so I could go by there and get gasoline and write my name on a little piece of paper and go about my business. And I didn't even have to pay for it. Now that's a deal. But you know why I could do that? Why he honored that? My daddy had gone by and said, Alvin, when my son comes by and he needs gas, just let him sign the ticket and he can get it. And then, of course, if I didn't do it right, I'd talk to Dad later if I overused that. But I had the authority of my dad to go there and do that, and it was a pleasurable thing. I didn't have to explain anything. All I had to do was let him pump the gas and sign the ticket and wave bye to Alvin and go out. Well, God says we can come to Him in the name of Jesus. And it's that authority that we have, the name of Jesus. Don't pray in the name of Baptist. I know too many Baptists that are not so hot. Pray in the name of Jesus, amen? And go to the Lord in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. And then you can know God's will and pray in authority. And then there's the door of confession. And we pray, we preached a little bit about that, about praying in holiness, but there must be that door of confession. Why? Well, the psalmist reminds us, if there is iniquity in my heart, sin of any kind, then God will not hear me. That is, He will not honor and answer my prayer. If there is sin, iniquity in my life, God is not bound to answer our prayers if that's there. Now, thank God, our position with the Lord and our ultimate salvation was settled by Christ dying on the cross for our sins. All of my sins were paid for in salvation. But then as I live that life out on a daily basis, I can quench or grieve the Holy Spirit to do things that are wrong that God is not pleased with. And God says if there is sin in my daily life, and we don't lose our salvation when we fail. We lose the joy of it and fellowship and all of those things. But if I have sin in my life, and I know it, and usually, friend, you know it. If you're saved and the Holy Spirit indwells you, He convicts you of any kind of sin that's in your life. And if not, sometimes it'll be through the preaching or teaching of the Word of God that God will get a hold of you and say, this is something you need to realize that's wrong in your life. And you need to quit it, confess it, see it as God sees it, stop doing it, confess it to God, and then you have the right to have your prayers answered. But as long as you hold on to, hang on to those sins, then you don't have a right to get your prayers answered. Now, always in Baptist churches, we think, aha, those people that get drunk, they don't get their prayers answered. And those Baptists that do other things that are wrong, use drugs or whatever, they don't get their prayers answered. But there are so many things that can keep you from getting your prayer answered, and a lot of times we don't want to admit those things. Like pride. There's usually so much pride in our churches among God's people. And when we get proud and we have pride in our lives, it can happen from the pulpit through the pew. If we get pride in our lives. Did you know that pride is a sin? As a matter of fact, that's what started the whole mess, was Lucifer in heaven getting too proud, the archangel, and getting thrown out of heaven because he thought he was greater than God, and he got thrown out of heaven, and the demons, the third of the angels, the demons with him. And so we face all of that today in the curse upon the earth. But pride, that's a sin. Did you know that jealousy is a sin that can hinder your prayer life? Somebody in your family gets a little bit more than you. They get a new car and you hadn't had one in 5 years. And it's a nice car. It's sort of the one you'd like to have had. And all of a sudden, boy, you just build up full of jealousy. And then you go tell another relative, well, I don't know, they must not be tithing or they couldn't afford a car like that. They must make a whole lot more money. They probably have gotten some money they hadn't told us about. I bet they inherited some they didn't tell us about. I don't think they deserve that car. You say, have you ever heard stuff like? Sure, I've heard stuff like that. And in a church sometimes, people get jealous of other people, their gifts. And maybe they are more gifted in an area, and maybe somebody else thinks they're gifted, but they're really not that gifted in that area, but they want to insert themselves in that area. I've always said, if you think you can sing a solo, find at least two people that'll agree with you. At least two. The minister of music says, hallelujah. There's pride, jealousy, envy. That sort of goes together. How about gossip? How about gossip? You know, when you hear something about somebody, the best thing to do is just leave it alone. But if you hear it, don't run out here and tell everybody. If you think it's pretty bad, check it out first. Make sure you know what you're talking about. That'd be a good idea. How many people's lives have been hurt, hindered in a bad way because some Baptist, some Christian went out, they really didn't know the facts, somebody just sort of gave an innuendo, and they went out and started telling everybody, did you know, did you know, did you know? Why is it that we think we're elevated when we tear somebody else down? That doesn't elevate anybody, really. We gossip about each other, we gossip about other things, and gossip about fellow Christians, gossip about never the preacher, right? Like the little boy riding home with his mother saying, what are we going to have for lunch? He said, buzzard. She said, son, you're wrong. You mean turkey. He said, you're wrong. You mean turkey. He said, no, Mama said we was going to have the old buzzard for lunch. So that would be the preacher, you know. At least it gives you something to talk about after church. But gossip helps nobody. We major on these other things. I don't drink and I don't chew tobacco and all that. But we just gossip. We're mean as a junkyard dog sometimes as Christians. And we are filled with pride, and filled with materialism, lust for things in this world and all of that. I'm just saying to you folks, not trying to be negative, I'm just saying to you, these are sinful things that can be in our life. Bitterness. One of the greatest problems that a lot of Christians have is bitterness. They just will not forgive other people that have hurt them. And they want to get even with them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. But we want to get even with them. And we work hard at getting even with them. I don't get mad. I just get even. You've seen that bumper sticker. And that's what happens. But did you know that bitterness is a sin? So that's not so bad, preacher. I mean, everybody gets bitter. If you stay bitter and you let bitterness get in your heart against a former pastor or a former mate, your former husband or wife or someone else, and you let bitterness get in your heart because they failed you in some way, and truly they may have failed you, and truly it may have hurt you. But what does God say? Oh, we don't really want to check with God, do we? After all, we can go to our psychiatrists and psychologists, and they may not check with God. I want to check with God. See what He says. And what He says is what? Forgive them. Some of you got brothers and sisters. You've never forgiven them for what they did to you. You need to forgive them today. Forgive them. Sure, after the funeral was over and the settlement of all the goods were there and they got much more than you and they abused you and mistreated you in the whole affair, do you just stay angry at them? No, you've got to forgive them. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I'm just simply saying that we need to pray and we need to confess those things and get rid of those things in our lives that are not pleasing to God. And a hidden sin really can hinder your prayer life. And that's what the psalmist is talking about, I think, clearly. And I think, too, the home has so much to do with that. Listen, husbands and wives here in this building today, if your relationship is not right, it will hinder your prayers. How do you know that? The Bible. 1 Peter 3:7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto your wife as unto the weaker vessel. That's not brain weaker either. That primarily is talking about physically weaker. Now, I've seen a few women who could whip some wimps, I know, but at any rate, as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Let me tell you something, husbands. If you don't treat your wife right, you know, they had that big rally yesterday over in Dallas about being abusive to your wife and so on and so forth, and the men doing that, and that's usually where the problem is. But I'm telling you, there's more abuse than physical abuse. It can be that sharp tongue of yours, men, that you need to calm down and turn over to the Holy Spirit of God, and vice versa. You see, if you don't treat your wife right, men, you don't have a right to ask God to answer your prayers until you get that right. And it sort of works the other way, too, doesn't it? It works the other way, too. But we know that he's talking about a relationship at home, and if it isn't right in the home, you don't have the right to expect your prayers to be answered until you get that right. And the thing to do is get it right. I want God's power. I want God's power when I preach. I hope I have it, and I want people to pray, and I pray to that end. But when we're coming to church on Sunday morning, I say to my wife, I've said, generally speaking, don't bring up anything controversial between me and you. And even if I'm speeding coming to church on Sunday, which I'd never do, but even if I say, look, if it's something that comes up and all of a sudden she wants to say something about it and it may have been something that had taken place, I'll say, let's hold that off till after church tonight. You know why? Because I don't want to get mad at her before we come to church and have a problem standing up here and preaching. And so we work at that. We have to work at that. I'm not saying that she is always fussing at me or that kind of thing. But I'm just saying I want to protect that because I want my prayers answered and I want the power of God in my life. And that's true every day of the week. Should be that way every day of the week, not just on the Lord's Day. 7 days a week. But we need to get honest and just name the sin and confess it and forsake it, whatever it may be. And we need to keep a short account with God. Charles A. Tindley Tinley was a godly black preacher. And I think we had this song this morning. But the words say, "Nothing between my soul and my Savior. Naught of this world's delusive dream. I have renounced all sinful pleasure. Jesus is mine. There's nothing between." I love that song. "Nothing between, like worldly pleasure. Habits of life, though harmless they seem, must not my heart from Him ever sever. He is my all. There is nothing between. Nothing between, like pride or station. Self or friends shall not intervene. Though it may cost me much tribulation, I am resolved. There is nothing between. Nothing between in many hard trials, though the whole world against me convene. Watching with prayer and much self-denial, triumph at last with nothing between. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, so that His blessed face may be seen. Nothing preventing the least of His favor. Keep the way clear. Let nothing between." That's good singing and good advice. Let nothing between. And God will not hear us if we willfully harbor sin. And then there's the door of earnest prayer. Not just prayer, but earnest prayer. James 5, 17 and 16 and 17. "Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that you may be healed." Listen, the effectual prayer, fervent prayer, of a righteous man availeth much, has good results. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed how? How did he pray? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. He prayed earnestly, and for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain. That's earnest praying. He got his prayer answered. But there was a reason for all of that. But we need to be earnest. Right in the middle of our trials. Earnest praying in the middle of our trials. Elijah had physical trials, but he prayed earnestly that it wouldn't rain. Let me ask you, do your trials cause you to earnestly come before God or not? Our trials should make us come to God. And we cannot be flippant in our praying. It would be a sin. Don't be flippant in your praying. Pray earnestly to God. You don't just say, "Well, I prayed about it," and slough it off like that and walk away from it. We need to pray earnestly. Awake, maybe at the nighttime, maybe 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock, a burden on your soul. Drop down by your bed or go to another room away from others and get alone and pray earnestly to God about that matter so that you can see it answered. That's what Christ was doing in the Garden of Gethsemane. Earnest praying. And I want to tell you, that requires time, that requires energy. You're not going to be earnestly praying if you don't give it some time and some energy in your life. And sober-minded men need to pray like that, and women too. We have fellowship. We laugh. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to cry. There's a time to pray earnestly. Earnestly to God. Every prayer ought to be that way, actually. It's a lot more serious than your golf swing or your fishing equipment. Get serious, earnest about our praying. And then there's the door of agreement. The door of agreement. Matthew 18, 18. "Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." This has a local church context here, and they were dealing with discipline, and he was saying that what you bind at that church is going to be honored and bound in heaven. And then in verse 19, Matthew 18, 19, "Again I say unto you that if two of you," get that, "if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. If two people can get together with these other things being the way they should be, then you have the right to believe, as two people praying earnestly before God, that you can get your prayers answered. Sometimes missionaries come by and they'll say, or maybe call and say, "Preacher, would you pray with me about this need?" And I say, "Sure, I'd be glad to do that." And sometimes we pray over the telephone. Do you know God can hear your prayers over the telephone? Doesn't even have to go through the line. It goes straight up either way. But we pray together and try to come into agreement about that. And many times God answers those prayers and you see some miracles take place. And then very quickly, the last thing, there's the door of fasting. The apostles could not heal a little lunatic boy who had demons in him. And they were puzzled. They couldn't cast out at least the one demon that was in him. But Jesus did it. Wasn't any problem. And Jesus reminded them, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he says we don't have to have a lot of faith, just faith equal to a grain of mustard seed. Exercise that faith, and we can say to the mountain, "Be removed." And they said, Jesus said to them, "Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer." Now watch this. This is something Baptists aren't used to, and fasting. "This kind goeth not out but by prayer," all those other things being what they ought to be, "and fasting." What is fasting? It's when the spiritual becomes more important to you and you're more burdened about that situation than you are going to lunch. Good timing. Than you are going to lunch. In other words, you're so burdened about that situation. It may be your own life. It may be something in the church. It may be something in your family. It may be something, I don't know. But you get so burdened under that burden that you choose to go fast. And you don't go around telling, "Hey, I'm fasting, everybody. I'm fasting. Watch me." You privately do that. You don't have to tell anybody about it. And you get along with God and pray and fast. It is a biblical principle. It's a biblical principle. Have you ever had somebody, you went to them at a funeral, after a funeral or just before a funeral, and what do people always say to people a lot of times? I've always wondered. They say, "You need to eat." And here these people are grieving, their heart's broken, they've lost a loved one, and somebody says, "You need to eat." And what do they say usually? "I'm not hungry. I don't feel like eating right now. I'm just not hungry." You know why? They're under the burden of that loss. And they're really not interested in eating right then because of the burden. God help us to get burdened about things, revival and other things in our church, in our lives, so that we are willing to fast and pray. Now, you might want to check with your doctor. Be sure you do it properly. And that you can, you have to be careful with it. I'm saying that. But most of us can fast. And you might go one afternoon, one evening before sundown, and or after sundown, say, "I'm not eating anything after sundown. I'm not going to eat breakfast the next morning. I'm not going to eat lunch. I'm not going to eat until sundown the next night." That's just like one day fast. And just drink juice or water or something like that. What do you do during the time you usually eat? Get on your knees before God and pray. And that is foreign to most Christians today. But it's as biblical as John 3:16. That we fast and pray. And we'll never see the greatest results until we as believers fast and pray. And don't go judging somebody just because they're big and think they don't fast. You can fast and still be fat. You don't just quit eating all the time, but you can fast. Now, if you do a 40-day fast, that'd be all right. But fasting is getting under the burden. Let me ask you, do miracles still happen? Yes, they do. Is God limited? No! Miracles can still happen if we pray, and we are challenged to fast and pray to see what God can do. What a great privilege it is to talk to God. And we need to approach God prayerfully. the way God intends for us to approach Him. What are your biggest challenges today? What are your biggest problems today that you came in this building with? What are they? Bring them to the Lord in prayer. Pray. Come to Him. If you need to make something right, do that. But come to Him and turn it over to Him. And the greatest prayer that you can pray, friend, is coming to Christ and get saved. Where you come to Him and He will not turn. Isn't it amazing that you can get saved by praying? You don't have to join the church. You don't have to get baptized. All of that. You just pray. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, that's praying, shall be saved. Calling upon the name of the Lord. Let's stand, please. We have our invitation right after the prayer. And Father, You know the hearts of the people, and You know our needs today. And I pray that You would speak to all of us and help us to be reminded of the importance of prayer. Surely some of us perhaps might need to make some rededications to that and to straighten some things out. But help us, Lord, to be a praying people according to the Bible. And help those who are unsaved to be saved today through praying and asking You to save them. In Jesus' name, amen.